ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for Teen.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I don't love junior mints. I just don't hate them. I don't understand why they are treated like second class candy.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Oh, there's a you there's don't a understand why a candy that is basically toothpaste wrapped up in stale chocolate is treated like a second class candy. All right, I get it. It's a good, valid question.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Is there a time to change? You know, the three teams I've drafted this year. Second class candy is pretty good.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
I'd love to change one to ductless heat pumps, if only I could say it. But just by luck, that team would win.
A couple of times in a row now, you've done all right.
I know, but I have to really, I really have to concentrate.
Keep practicing.
Now, there's something, never mind, there's something about the sequence of sounds there that's problematic for me. 803-0550, here we go. Week 8, after tonight's games anyway, officially. The Bills and the Panthers in Charlotte, and it does look like it will be Andy Dalton for Carolina. And I think that that's probably good for Carolina. We have several of these in the NFL. We often do, where a team is trying to force it with their young guy that they've spent heavy draft capital on, and it's not really working. Bryce Young has had his moments, mostly in a short stretch of games late last season. This year, not as good. Early last year, disaster. And so at 4-3 with a live season, I'm thinking that there'd be some juice with this in the Panthers organization, or at least the locker room. Not that that makes Andy Dalton more than he is, but I think it's probably a tougher game now. Certainly could be debated. You know, I'm not sure I'm right. Maybe we'll find out. I guess we won't even know.
I think this gives you a better floor, and I just don't think the ceiling is as high with Young. But you know, however infrequent it is that he would hit it, maybe you would not expect him to hit it. But I don't know. There is a number one overall pick talent in there, so. But we do see Joe Flacco just happened, so the Bills could get Flacco'd by Dalton. Veteran guy, steely, whatever. He probably won't make the mistakes you might count on Young making. I don't know. It's Andy Dalton.
That's how you win, though.
Yeah.
I just don't think Bryce Young has been good enough for me to get there. But, again, like that doesn't mean Dalton is great. I just like Carolina's chances a little bit more with a quarterback that has been around for so long. He's played 6 games against the Bills, Dalton, but none in 6 years. The last Dalton start, anyway, against Buffalo was in 19, week 3. I think of this game for Dawson Knox with a big 49-yard catch. I looked up the number. Had a touchdown in the game. Bills got out 8-0. I remember sitting in the press box being so excited for 8-0 as opposed to 7. I don't know if there was a special reason why they went for 2, like an offside penalty or something. But, let's go. I love a team that's willing to get out 8-0 like that. Just super cool. And they won by 3. I think. Anyway, it was a close game. They were maybe four.
That was still the Bengals?
That was the Bengals, or right. The Bengals. Zach Taylor had just gotten there, and that's the last time they've seen Dalton. And that would be after the drought breaker. Like, we were already we were talking about.
Sure, right. We already were pretty much in love with him now. Yeah, right.
By then. Yeah. Let's go to Thomas here. Hi, Thomas.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. Thanks for calling us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm wrapping up the workday and thinking about some Bills football. I got a few things. My first thing is, say they go to Carolina and they lose, right? What is it going to take for something to change on the coaching staff? Like, at what point in the season do we have a change? Okay, that's my first thing. And then I'll just read them off, and then I'll let you guys go. And then, like, second thing is, like, what's the end goal with this team? Is it to win a Super Bowl?
Yes.
Because if it's to win a Super Bowl, I don't think – you guys might disagree. I don't think McDermott's going to do it. Because I'm just looking at the stats, and I'm thinking about plays and, you know, games and scenarios. And I just – honestly, what I've seen in the 9 years – he doesn't have what it's going to take to win this thing. And honestly, on top of it, the roster this year, I personally don't think the roster. So he's going to get – that's where I'm like, yeah, do I give him one more year? And then I'm like, well, that's another year off, Josh. And then I'm like, yeah, I'm just discouraged because without an offensive coach, can this team win a Super Bowl without an offensive head coach with Josh Allen? And how long is it going to take to have a change at that head coach position? Okay, and then that's – I'm hitting panic mode here.
Are you so do you want them to lose on Sunday so they would get closer to making a change? Do you want to put your name on that or no?
No, I never want to lose. I'm a true fan. I want to win every game. But I'm thinking –
you're a true fan that just hates the coach. I got it. Okay. That's totally fine.
You can hate the players and coaches even though you're a fan.
I wasn't being pejorative about that at all. I was just clarifying.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. No. I don't hate the coach. I don't hate the coach. I think he's done a tremendous job. Hate's too strong. He took a program that was really, really down, and he's done a great job of bringing them up. I just don't know if this is the guy to take us. You know, they talk about it in hockey a lot more, I think, where a guy, you know, takes a team and he develops them, and then they're going to bring in somebody else to finish it, you know, win the cup. But is that the situation we're in? Is that where we're at here?
Not now. No.
Okay.
I mean, can you think of an example where a good team made a coaching change in the middle of the season?
No.
Can you think of one?
Not in pro ball, no. Not in the pro system. College system, they might, and you know, but not in the pro system.
Oh, it's happened in the NHL, for sure. NFL, no, it doesn't happen.
I'm only concerned with the NFL, because this is what we're dealing with. And if you can think of one time ever where a team was pretty much the betting Super Bowl favorite that made a coaching change with a winning record in the middle of the season, I'd love to know about it. Maybe it's happened. It's 100 years.
What I was going to say about the winning record, like, are we sure this is a real winning record? We beat no one. And I know every week it's hard to win in the NFL.
Yes.
We beat no one, though.
I am sure that 4-2 is winning. Yes.
No,
sure.
you know what I'm getting at. Okay, come on. Don't act like I'm a dummy.
I just can't believe we're starting the week like this.
It's Monday.
Right, it's the first day of the week, and we're talking about if they lose on Sunday, how close will they get to firing the coach, is your question. And I don't know, I think we like to pride ourselves in being able to make almost any conversation interesting. I just don't really know what to do with something that's predicated on them losing to Carolina on Sunday, so that they inch closer to changing over an entire operation that has won the division 5 times in a row and been within a whisker of making it to the Super Bowl a couple times. I don't know what to do with it. I think it just disregards so much of the good that has gone on here and just boils it down to a few select moments. I mean, you haven't been wrong yet. He has not delivered a championship here. I mean, I can't argue with you. because you know, the facts are irrefutably true. He has not done that. So you're going to stand on that square until what? Until he wins and then say what? Nothing. Or they don't win again and eventually he gets fired and you'll be right. I don't know what to do with the in-between. The in-between is all the games are going to happen between now and whenever either of those things happen.
What to do with it now is, of course, nothing. That is what to do with it now, is nothing. Nobody would ever do anything with it now, even with another loss. Like, it's just not a thing right now. I mean, are we so bored? Just anybody else? Like, this is now almost every day that somebody's calling into. Basically, they don't even really usually say it. They just talk around it for 5 minutes and, you know, waste your time with, well, I'm only saying this, and is it really a winning record? And, you know, but what if it's a bad loss? You know, these kinds of things. I just don't think there's I can't believe I need to say it out loud to anybody. I just don't think there's a scenario. We get to the end of seasons and the Bills lose dramatically, if not sometimes even offensively in the playoffs. And it still sounds kind of crazy to me usually, the idea that they would make a change. And it doesn't mean that I think they're complacent. It means that I think they're happy on balance overall, mostly with who they've got and what they've got. And to court, like earlier, we're saying that this that they don't do that means that they're complacent, that they don't really want to win. It's just, to me, like mostly nonsense. I just don't think it's a conversation reasonable people are having. And I like it when our show sounds like it's a conversation between reasonable people. But here we go. It's week 8. And it's like, well, what if they lose this game, guys? Like, just, I don't know. What if they do? I don't have to be right. I think if I feel, and I'm going to say this out loud, which I can't believe. If they made a coaching change in the middle of this season, they would be considered nuts by anybody that seriously and professionally talks about this sport. You think I'm right?
Yeah, 100%.
Then what's next? I mean, just what else can we talk about other than like whether, but we don't really want to say it because we don't really hate the coach. We just don't think he can win. And like, what kind of a take is that? I mean, they just, because they haven't before, you can say it. People do. We know this because they call us when they want to say it. They want everybody to know that they are the ones who've said it. They have the guts. It just doesn't sound reasonable to me to even think about. At the end of the season, do I want to say this again now? I mean, we do sit here every day, and I know that that means you're going to say the same things pretty often. I think if they lose in the end the same way, which is by not being able to get stops against even the very best teams, I'd listen to it. I might even be ready for it at that point. Because in my opinion, this is mostly why they've lost. Because they are too easy to score on in the playoffs when it matters most. And so at that point, okay, maybe. But I've got no use for that thought today. There's nothing that's interesting about that to me today. There's nothing I can do about it. There's no topic I want to build around. It's just like, it just has to wait. Now I just feel like I'm preaching and I don't like that either. I don't like any of it. It's just nuts to me that this even comes up. Guys, what if they lose this game? The guy didn't even really ask the question about McDermott. He's like, what kind of coaching changes would you consider making? Like, okay, maybe I'd fire the linebackers coach. I don't know. What are you really asking? Say it. Right. Don't waste our time. Just say it next time. Just like McDermott has to go, I don't like him. I think they'll never win with him. Just say it. I'd respect that more. I wouldn't think it any less crazy, but right. I'd respect it more. All right, here's something else.
Okay.
Yikes. You wouldn't take the 2 seed right now, right?
No, I would not.
Do you think the Colts would? As important as the 1 is,
I don't, boy, I mean, it's so new. You might still, if you really follow it day to day, you still might be leery of trusting it to the extent that you'd want to be striving for, like, you'd be just happy to be in, be happy to be a division winner, be happy to be the 2 even. I would want to push back against it, I think, even though, you know, a big part of the reason here is that I think it's early enough and it's not so lopsided anywhere. I mean, I'm a game back of them right now, Okay, go make that up. You're the Bills. They're Indianapolis. Maybe they'll just be better than you. I don't know, but I'd want to keep going. And if I were Indianapolis, I'm in that seat right now. I wouldn't want to just sign for, I'll settle for two or whatever. Keep going. You are mostly killing people you play. Maybe they're not any good, but you're doing it. I mean, you are doing it to them. They look fantastic.
They have to be at least pretty good.
Yeah.
And they're in great shape in their division. So if I'm that, I still think Houston might be interesting. I do not think Jacksonville is, or Tennessee. If I'm really confident in my division chances, then I might want to roll the dice. Then I might not need to, sign for anything less than the one.
Yeah.
I'll be at home. If I win the division, I'll be at home necessarily. Right. And then if I can get the one seed on top of that, even better. But I want to try for it. I've got the lead in the conference.
Right.
I want to try for it. so I think I would say no if I were the Colts, but it's a little gutsy,
Yeah.
It's brave.
And considering how the tenor of the conversations we're having frequently enough here, maybe a lot of Bills fans right now would go, sure, I'm the two. I won the division again. I passed New England. All right, I'm going to have to go to somewhere. Right now it would be Indianapolis. Sign me up for that. It means I had basically the same year I've been having. It's too early, and they're not so far back of anything right now. I would not want that either for the Bills. I'd want to keep going. Like, I can get there.
I like it. Here's Jeff next. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, Jeff. Thanks for calling.
Thanks, guys. I guess my question always is, who are we hiring after this giant firing spree? Like, nobody ever seems to have answers as to who are we bringing in.
Oh, no. Somebody last week loved the Cliff Kingsbury idea. So you missed that.
Yeah.
Someone this morning brought up Mike McCarthy. I believe that happened.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. I mean, what are we doing here? I mean, we're going to bring in the IT guy from Miami. Is that what we're doing? I mean, again, it makes no sense whatsoever. It's like I'm going to burn down my house because I don't like it anymore. Like, okay, great. Then what are you going to do? Well, I'll rebuild it. How are you rebuilding it? I don't know. We'll just rebuild it.
Okay. Well, people, like Bulldog is saying, people have had names. And I don't think right now you need names. I mean, there'd probably be somebody with some credentials.
Yeah, those names, by the way, because it wasn't clear, those names are horrible ideas in both cases, in my opinion. I wouldn't give Cliff Kingsbury the key to an umpire in the NFL again after how Arizona went. Congratulations on running a good offense for 1 year. We'll see what happens here moving forward. I know what his reputation is, and it should include that he was a disaster as a head coach.
He looks better when the quarterback can't get it right without him, to me, but fair enough. Thanks, Jeff. Mario's next. Hello.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Hey, I don't know how much you guys listen to Jeremy and Joe in the mornings, because I don't know if you want to listen to work when you're not at work, but they had Joe Moreno on last Monday, I think it was, and Joe had an interesting analysis of the team where he said, looking at the defense, you might be able to convincingly say they might not have the personnel to be too successful with the squad they have this year, and so the good formula for winning is put it all in the offense, and hopefully you're getting teams to play from behind, making the defense one-dimensional and forcing turnovers, which I think was our formula last year. And I'm all in on that. And I think the Atlanta game, if anything, was an indictment on Brady and even Keon Coleman and where they play him. And I would like to see them focus on the offense and make changes. And no, I'm not calling for anyone to get fired. It's 4-2. And to that other caller's point, that is a winning record if you did the math. But I would like to see them move Coleman into the slot where he played most of the time at Florida State. And then I would love for them to invest at the trade deadline in a receiver target for the 1 or 2 slot on the edge, 1 or 2 spot on the outside. If they were able to make a move like that, if you guys had to humor me, who would you want them to go after? I saw a cool trade rumor this week that the Bills were linked to potentially trying to go after Waddle in Miami. I doubt the Dolphins would ever do that. And then I guess he tweeted a picture of himself in front of the Bills logo in the before the Thursday night game, so people are speculating. So don't think that's going to happen, but I would like to see them get a receiver. Wanted to get your guys' take on that.
I love Jalen Waddle. I'd love Chris Olave. There's probably I'd even be interested in Shahid, Olave's teammate in New Orleans, who's been in the rumor mill. I don't know how likely it is that any of these things are going to happen. Maybe they will do something with Coleman coming out of the break. There's been a lot of chatter around it, but I don't know. Coleman's failure to produce here beyond the fourth quarter of the opener is largely the driving force on me wanting to trade for Waddle or Olave. I think they need to replace him if they're going to find their way to someone who can credibly help them on the outside, because I don't think it's happening with Coleman.
Shakir is in the way of this move.
That's right.
The Shakir signing for me was always, it's just so Bills. I feel like he's fine, but I can't really do this with Coleman unless I just dump Coleman and oblige Shakir and use him effectively, I think. It's the same thing with Cook. Cook is fine. If I sign him to that contract, then I'm not necessarily, well, I'm necessarily not, I think, going to be looking for a good running back, even just to play a complementary role for maybe a couple of years. And I don't like how that feels either. So I think the Bills have a lot of mid, you know, maybe Cook's better than that, or Shakir, but like at the same time, they block paths to doing something like this. And I still think the bigger point, as we start another week of this with the receiver, is whether the general manager would want to eat his words and make that kind of move. Name the best receivers in the league for all I care. Name any of them. Is he going to want to do that with Palmer here, with Kincaid coming back, presumably with even Samuel coming back? Are we sure he wants to dump the experiment? I don't know. They did make the Cooper trade, and you could look at that either way, I think, to try to predict what
it could be to
want.
The detriment of doing this, because it didn't exactly splash, but it did happen, which lends itself to the idea that if he recognizes a need,
right,
he will act on it despite whatever he has said about it.
Right. So, 2 weeks to find out, right? 2 weeks and a day? 803-0550 for your calls. Thanks for listening. Sabres and Canadiens tonight for Montreal. Pregame in an hour here on WGR.
ARC Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARC machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for Teen.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
If the Bills play the Chiefs in January, which I expect those two teams to meet, wherever the game is, that game's coming down to one thing. Can Buffalo hit Mahomes? That has been the story, to me at least, in all these games they've played over the years. Ed Oliver's been invisible in those games. Greg Rousseau has largely been invisible in those games. And if that's the case, like, it's just over.
Matt Verderam, our guest today from SI. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here at 803-0550. Lines are open now. We have guests on almost every day. If you ever miss anybody, go to the Odyssey app and catch up, as long as it's not too long ago. You should be able to do that. I don't know, it was Friday too long ago? Adam Krautwurst was on with us on Friday, and Adam and I split a few different fantasy teams, and I know he's very sad today.
Oh, that's too bad. I hate to hear that about someone I admire so much.
He is ruining having come on our show on Friday and having touted George Kittle. Everybody start George Kittle.
Oh, yeah. I did ask him about that. Yeah, any hesitation on him coming back from injury? No, full go.
Full go, baby.
We played him.
I played him.
Thank you for coming. Zero.
Adam today was like, well, his exact words were, my career is over and I don't even have one. That was such a good line. You'll be back, Adam.
Yeah, we'll
be back.
We'll need to talk to someone about fantasy at 4 o'clock on a Friday, probably soon.
Probably even this week.
So don't you fret.
Adam has nothing to be ashamed of. Everybody was saying the same things on Kittle, right? Like, no limitations. I'm kind of already bracing for Ibuka to be this tonight.
Right.
Oh, he's good to go, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Decoy.
Sure he is.
Let's go to John here. Hi, John.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Thank you.
Couple subjects. One regarding Brady in the game last week. I could sit at home and see what play package we're going to run. For example, if Cook was off the field for any time in the first three quarters, if Cook was off the field, we threw the ball 100% of the time. And Brady's putting certain personnel packages in for certain types of plays. And it's very obvious to the defense basically what we're going to do based on our personnel packages. And it's almost high schoolish. And I wish he would be a little bit more less obvious what the play call is going to be. But take a look at it. Every time Cook is on the field or is off the field, we throw the ball up until about mid-fourth quarter. Also, there's an old cliche that says players are made in the offseason, not during the season. And I see a slower and weaker lower body strength in our quarterback. I don't think he worked as hard in the offseason. I think that's kind of obvious by getting married, doing all the commercials, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm not sure he worked hard enough to be the Josh Allen he was last year. I'll just hang up.
You are deriving this comment about his lower body strength based on your observations watching him, or is it just that you know he got married and is in a lot of ads now, so you're just connecting the two?
Honestly, it'd be hard to know the difference.
Yeah, I suppose. I guess I wanted some more clarification on exactly what we're asserting here.
I don't know. Here's Adam next. Hi, Adam.
Jesus.
Oh, you're sure you guys don't want to talk about Josh Allen's lower body strength more?
If we do, we will, I guess.
Yeah, stay tuned. We got another hour to go still before Sabres pregame.
All right. I got two questions about Beam that I want to ask you about. Number one, when he very publicly kind of went after the morning guys for their opinion on wide receiver, I almost feel – I kind of want to know what you guys really feel about that. I mean, obviously, I feel like Mike's comments before the break there make it sound obvious that, you know, we're feeling right now that Beam kind of came out in a very public and aggressive way, and we feel like he would need to, quote-unquote, kind of walk back his comments if he were to make a move at that position. But I feel like at the time that it happened, and I went back and listened to this recently, it sounded more like he was speaking directly about not selecting a receiver in the draft more so than recognizing whether or not the roster had wide receiver talent. So, I mean, that's question number one. I mean, where do you guys kind of land on that at the moment?
I have not gone back and listened to it recently, so I don't know. I don't know if he mentioned signing Josh Palmer in the course of that conversation or not, or if we just worked that into it as, you know, this is what you've done. Let's check out the ledger and how you're doing here. So I don't know. It was the Monday after the draft, so it makes sense that he would have been talking some about the draft class, but I thought he was defending the position in general, more so than just the draft-eligible players. Like, his choices at the position is what I'm saying I think he was defending.
Yeah, fair enough. The other thing I kind of wanted to mention is I know that he's talked publicly about not building a roster specific to any one particular opponent. You just kind of want to field the best roster you can. But with New England kind of looking like they found a guy here in Drake May, one consideration is not necessarily how you construct the roster player-wise, but how you construct and work around the salary cap. And one thing I've really wanted to see him start to do now that we're in the later portion of Josh Allen's, second half of his kind of prime here is whether or not he'll take more risks in kicking money down the road, especially because I feel like that's something, one way that you can sort of combat just how much cap space New England has with, Drake May on a rookie deal over the next few years. Making a move for a wide receiver, especially a good one, is obviously going to come at a cost. And I just wonder if that's something that you'd hope or expect or maybe want to see, if that's something that they would start doing moving forward.
They have used void years. They don't have the reputation, and I'm assuming it's earned, that, say, Philadelphia has for doing it. But I think the Bills have done plenty of that in some of the restructures that are done here. So, yeah, I mean, I'd want them to use every single resource that there is. Every edge that you can find should be utilized and exhausted. And I assume that they are doing that. Some of their choices are hard, have been hard to overcome. They've got some contracts that are, to me, not very good value at all. The Dawson Knox contract comes right to mind. We'll see about this whole slew of guys that they signed this past off season. I think we all were sitting back sort of cheering that on. And they're locked in now to guys that, I don't know, this year have mostly just kind of looked, all right. And that includes Benford. He's not been great this year. Like, that's a sneaky problem that they have overall. Like, the defense has got problems, but guys that you should be counting on to be great even have not been great. And so I don't know if that's, failure all around that makes it harder for him to function at the high level that he's been functioning at, but it's not going well. So I don't know. I mean, the overall point is, should they exhaust every financial option that there is? Yes, of course they should. And I think they do a fair amount of it already. I mean, I'm not familiar enough with any of the websites that track this stuff to go find the void years. I could look individually through each guy. I think SpotTrack does itemize that. And I think there are some of those out there, but I don't know the totals and just how commonplace it is.
I guess I can't figure out, to the caller's question, why any of this would have anything to do with the Patriots. It's either good strategy or it isn't, right? I mean, is your cap modeling something that you would choose because another team, like your rival, does it a certain way? I think it's either smart or it isn't, but maybe I'm missing something obvious there. New England, I mean, it looks pretty promising for them. Not even just for the future, but for the now. 5-2 now with the win here. They get the Browns this week. And then Atlanta. Now Atlanta has risen up. We've seen it. But
Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARC machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for Teen.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Will Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
It's still Atlanta, right? Carolina beat Atlanta 30-0. Does that do anything for you for this week? It's not how the league works, though.
I know it's not how the league works, but it was very tough to watch Atlanta in primetime last night look just feeble. Really, largely on offense. I mean, defensively, they did a decent. It was a 24-10 game or whatever it was. So you know, they you know, they got boat raced by the 49ers, but their offense looked like they didn't know what to do next. Largely in that game, after running a masterclass for the first 30 minutes of the game against the Bills last Monday.
Tonight we have two games, including Tampa Bay at Detroit, which is up first at 7. Lions in all black tonight. You like that?
Not really.
No, me neither.
No.
Another great look when it's sort of the traditional blue and silver. That I always forget the name. Hawaiian blue.
Hawaiian blue. I like
whatever it's called.
I like whatever they've done with the gray. When they have a gray, I've seen them in all gray, and I like that a lot.
You do?
Yeah.
I hate it.
Yeah.
Don't like it at all. That's when you're out of ideas. Gray.
I think it's sharp.
It's like a business suit. Don Draper would wear it, all gray. You know, but he was a handsome guy. He was a good-looking guy. He had style.
I guess.
He just wouldn't wear it with like a Lions helmet on. You wouldn't see him wearing that.
No,
and a big number on his front and back. And stripes.
I don't have every episode of Mad Men committed to memory like you probably do. But
no.
I don't remember that episode where he was wearing a Lions helmet.
That's a show I think about going back and rewatching, but I just do not commit time to this anymore. My time does not go to watching
shows you've already watched.
Shows I've watched. The commitment of, like, what, 7 years of that? Is that what that probably? 7 seasons, rather? I mean,
yeah.
I don't think so. I don't think I'm going to end up getting there. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, here at 803-0550. This is WGR.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure video game set in a lethal yet vibrant future Earth. Play as a raider, where you will settle into a fractured underground settlement, hoping to build a new home and legacy for yourself. In order to thrive, you must return to the surface, where lethal ARK machines roam unchecked and the motives of other raiders are dangerously unclear. But if you are fearless enough, who knows what you might find? Pre-order now for PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and PC. Available on October 30, rated T for Teen.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Will Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Hey, everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.